Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, my brother? How are you?
Man, I'm doing fantastic, as you say, man. I'm doing good, man. Hey, woke me up this morning, baby. So to get on here, I'm excited. It's Wednesday. It's our Friday. Why wouldn't I be excited? We're going to wear it on the streets, man. Here with the show and there. Hey, that's what I'm about, man. Back here with our people. So, man, I'm excited,
that's right,
man. What's going on with you? You tell, hey, them Lakers, what them Lakers doing again? Are they
Lakers
getting another game?
Lakers going to do it tonight, man. We got
they
we playing tonight. We're playing tonight. But I'm like you, man. I am so excited because it's our Friday, but it's everybody else Wednesday. But the reason why we're excited, Word on the Streets, because we have a very, very, very special guest in the house.
Yeah.
And we can't wait. We can't wait to get her on the show. And we know that you, too, would be impressed to have her come on. So, in like manner, Fletch and I, you know, we would tell you a whole lot about what our day been like, this, that, and the other, what have you. However, because we have a special guest tonight, we're going to go right into the program. Ladies and gentlemen, we want y'all to listen to this short. This is not all inconclusive of who our guest is, but here's just a short overview of who she is. Check it out. Khadija Chantel is a native of Oakdale, Louisiana, and is an accomplished individual. She attended Xavier University of Louisiana, where she received the prestigious UNCI STEM Scholarship and was a member of the American Association for Cancer Research. as well as the Epsilon Chi chapter of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Khadija is a multi-talented individual who wears many hats. She is the CEO of Essential Cancer Strategies, On the Go Vending, and the Sister On the Go. With her specialization in grant writing, health communication, and health policy, she worked as an epidemiologist and public health contractor. Currently, she resides in Atlanta and is pursuing her doctorate in public health. In her free time, Khadija is a hip-hop and R&B ghostwriter and an independent travel agent. She has a strong desire to give back to her community and inspire the youth. Yes, Khadija aspires to be a role model and make a positive impact in her hometown and in her state of Louisiana. Word on the street, family. Khadija is a talented and passionate young lady who has achieved success in various fields, including business, public health, music, travel, and the beat goes on and on and on. She is committed to giving back to her community and inspiring the next generation. Word on the streets are honored, and we proudly welcome Khadija Chantel to Word on the Streets. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Khadija Chantel, welcome to Word on the Streets.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here with you all.
And we're so excited to have you with us. You know, generally, Keith and I, we have a whole list of things we talk about, from business, generally motivational things from that angle. But it's another thing when we have a person who is living the message that we talk about every Monday and Wednesday. You are that person. You are that person that lives that ideal that we read in textbook about being a positive, self-motivated, goal-oriented person. So having said that, I just want to ask you, growing up, who was the most influential person or people in your life that may have contributed and implanted that type of desire in you?
I want to say first most would be my grandmother, Leester Roberts, or Big Mama, as everybody know her. That was my best friend. My grandmother was my best friend. She molded me, and she sowed seeds into me at a very, very young age. Aside from my grandmother, I would say most of the elders in my community. I had people deposit into me and speak word and life into my life at a very young age. I actually grew up in my grandmother's house. My mom was there, of course, but mom was back and forth working, trying to maintain as a single mom. So I spent a lot of time with my grandmother and the sisters, the deaconesses in her church of St. Peter. But most mornings I spent, when I wasn't at school, I spent my mornings pouring coffee and cake for Mama Lindy and Iffy, and Nanny Maud Thomas would come. So I spent most of my time around them and just listening to how they were talking and how they were carrying on and things that they were saying. And they were sowing into me at a young age. And then from there, the Annie Fletchers, the Major Smiths, and my uncle's mom has 9 siblings, and each one of them have played an individual role in my life differently. It's crazy because I remember growing up and saying I wanted to travel like my Aunt Diane. My Aunt Diane worked for the federal government for many years as a contract specialist. So I said, oh, I want to travel. I want to be like her. I want to be independent. So all of them, I'm sassy like my Aunt Lucille and will and I will tell you how I feel without a drop of a dime. I'm creative like my Aunt Dee Dee or Debbie. I can do just about anything that she does, cake from cake to braiding hair. My mom, I have a lot of her heart. My mom gives to people just anything she has, she'll give her last to someone. I got that from her. And then Sheila, of course, Sheila knows everyone. She doesn't meet a stranger. She's always talking. She's the one. We always told her she should have been the mayor of Oakdale because she never meets a stranger, and she always going to figure something out, and I got that from her. And then last but not least, Martha Ray. Martha Ray had the sweetest, kindest spirit, but she was super intelligent. I graduated from Xavier, and she went to Dillard. So we always had that New Orleans mindset in common, and she told me at a young age, she was like, Khadijah, if you go to Xavier, she said, make sure you pass organic chemistry for me because that was my worst subject. So Oakdale played a major role into who I am. Believe it or not, everyone, Allen High alumni has sowed seeds into me at a very young age. Mr. Turnley, Mr. Sidney Moten, Mr. Lewis Antoine, Reverend Craig, everyone. So since I was a young girl, people were depositing into me, speaking life into my life. They had me being a secretary at the church when I was 8 years old. So my community really impacted me and influenced me and has always lifted me up and encouraged me to be the best I can be and to continue being the best that I am.
Wow. Man, if Oakdale is not on this show tonight, shame on them. Shame on them. I mean, wow, so many people. I mean, the thing about it, you have acknowledged so many people who have poured themselves into you, and many of them have transitioned, but you've never forgotten them. Very impressive. Very impressive. I can tell you right now, just from hearing that opening, that the book of you right there is so much possibilities and opportunities await for you that the world ain't even, they're not even ready. They haven't even seen what's getting ready to happen to you and for you and well-deserving because to hear you acknowledge all those wonderful people that we all know, you know, we hear the phrase, it takes a village. My God, you didn't miss a name. You named everybody. You acknowledge everyone because everybody was that important and is that important to you. Very impressive. Flood, you want to add to that, man?
Well, like she said, all them names she called were some heavy hitters. Those were some heavy, heavy hitters. You know, I said I know them all personally. And if she just didn't name their names. She named each one of them their roles and what they played in life. And every one of them, I know them personally. She was right on point, you know, right on point. Her grandmother, you know, I knew her personally, and, you know, she was in church, you know. I met her a different way. She didn't play, you know what I'm saying? She said Lindy Moten, my grandmother, them some women, some strong women. In their time, man, you know, the things that they stood for back then, it wasn't too many people wasn't like that, you know what I'm saying? So the people that she spoke on, you know, my mother, Annie Fletcher, you know, her mother, Maud Esther, Sheila them, Martha Ray, all them, and all the names she was saying, Sidney, all the people that she named, man, like I said, them some heavy hitters, man, and I can tell by how she's speaking, like you're saying, they put a lot inside her. You know, like I told her before, when I started really seeing her on Facebook, real speaking, man, all that pulled out of her. You know what I'm saying? You can tell what she's saying, and when she opened her mouth that, you know what I'm saying, them people she spoke on, all is coming out of her. So I commend on that.
You know, as I was listening to you, I was wondering, so when a person leaves from a town like Oakdale and then we find ourselves at a major university in a different town, different city, and we're meeting all these people from different area around the world, other countries. So I'm wondering who influenced you most when it comes to business or professionalism.
I truly can say, business-wise, I don't know where it came from, to be honest, directly, but I can say I grew up in the church in St. Peter. So when I was growing up, we actually petitioned and did different things to build money into the church. So the Women of Vision, we had on Saturdays, we would get up in the morning and fix hot tamales and sell it because we knew the church anniversary was coming up, or we would go sell things because we knew the kids needed a vacation. So just waking up Saturday morning and making the flyers and doing that, that kind of started me to know that the demand and the supply, how supply and demand work in our neighborhoods. So seeing that, that kind of wielded me. But I think I was first introduced to business from family. My cousin, y'all may know him as Brian or Anthony, he was the first business person that I actually seen was like, okay, I don't want to work a 9-to-5. I'm going to go out there and do it myself. And that was my motivation, him moving from a small town of Oakdale, coming to Atlanta and thriving in the city and starting a business just influenced me. I have a cousin, Earl IV, he literally quit his job and stood 100% on his brand, just branding, doing dinner parties and making himself known. There's not a place you can go in Atlanta and you don't hear about Earl Roberts or Earl IV. Everybody knows him. So I can say from an early start, it started in the church. And then realistically, as I got older, paying attention to my older cousins and seeing how business worked. And that truly influenced me. That truly influenced me. And it has brought, you know, some ideas to me. And it keeps me inspired. Even though they probably hear this one day and be like, oh, wow, they have inspired me because they stand 100% on their brands and they don't waver on who they are and what they want. And I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to setting your goals, what can you just share with us, how do you go about setting your goals? Do you sit down and say, okay, I'm gonna set me a short plan goal over here, and I'm gonna do a long plan goal over here? What strategy or how do you go about moving forward in your life?
I used to do that, and then every time I would set a goal, it wouldn't work out exactly how I wanted it to. And then I realized that I was shortchanging myself. So I realized that when we set plans or set goals, God's going to end up laughing at us because what we see, we only see one point of view, but God sees 360. So we may be shortchanging ourselves. So I truly don't set realistic goals, or I don't say I'm going to do this. I just pray and I ask God to give me guidance, and I just go with the flow. I've been blessed to walk into a lot of blessings here recently that have just been me being humble and me opening up to God's purpose over my life. So to say I'm going to be here 5 years or 10 years from now, I don't know where I'm going to be, but I know I won't be in the same place that I was today because I know that God is going to continue to bless me and restore things and give me the desires of my heart and even give me what I don't want, that it may be even bigger than what I wanted for his plan for my life. So I'm just excited to see what happens. No, I no longer set goals. I know that seems crazy, but I know what I want, and I go get it. Since 98, I've been saying I was moving to Atlanta, and I was able to move to Atlanta 9 months ago. So it happened.
Okay. I want to ask you another question, but after I do, I don't want to hog the show, Fletcher, but after I ask this question, man, I want you to follow up on it because this kind of, it always itch in my brain because it's something you and I, we deal with and talk about on a regular basis. And because this is really what I'm getting ready to ask now, it's the nitty gritty of life itself. It is the storm and the rain, it's the hurricanes in our lives that we deal with. It's where people live every day. It's this everyday struggle in life that we all deal with. And so, Chantel, Khadija, I want to ask you, how do you overcome challenges and or obstacles in your life, your career, and business?
Okay. I've been through a lot of challenges here recently. These last 2-3 years have been very hard, especially with losing my grandmother, who was my best friend. So I can say I start off, I have a tantrum. I'm 100%, even though I'm grown, we still have that child inside of us. So I have my little tantrum, whether it's to myself or I just isolate myself, and I give myself a few minutes to feel those emotions, go through those emotions, and then I warm it up. Then I stick my chest out and I go to work. I try to find a solution to my problem, because if we sit and waddle in the hurt, it's going to continue. So you got to pull yourself up. You got to make sure you're okay. But you do have to realize those emotions and process those emotions and go through those emotions. So after that, I'm back running. I'm ready to handle whatever comes my way. I do start my morning. I try to have, like, I guess I can say meditate. I play my old gospel. I listen to my spiritual music, and then I play an inspirational message from either Sarah Jakes Roberts or Dr. Darius Daniels, and then I get on about my day, because how you start your day sets the tone for how your day will be. So I try to set it on a positive tone and just moving forward.
Okay, Fletcher, I'm sure you got some follow-up to do on that question, because that's right down our alley.
Man, like you said, I'm listening to the show. I'm sitting back listening, enjoying the show. I'm sorry. I'm just enjoying both of y'all talking the questions she's saying, man, because I have, you know, like saying, she's a young lady. And like I said, I've been impressed with her from afar. You know, like you said, I talk to a lot of people. Some people are hard to get past loss. I know how important your grandmother was to not just you, to your whole family. I'm talking about she was the general of that family. You know what I'm saying? So I would like for you to go a little deeper, because a lot of people can't let go of that. You know what I'm saying? It won't let go and move forward. And I know how strong, how much she had hold to the whole family. You know what I'm saying? So losing her, and then y'all sent her home. I just want to say y'all sent her home so right. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my God, y'all did. But sitting her, when she went home and they let that go to move forward, man, how hard, and like you say, give me some of the things you use to get past that, to move forward. Because a lot of people need to hear. I hear a lot of people, some people can't get past that grief, and it's holding them back. So can you speak more on that for me?
I can. That's funny you mentioned her home going service. So a lot of people don't realize that my grandmother has 32 grandchildren. I'm 31. I'm the second to youngest. Jedediah Wayne's son is actually the youngest grandchild. And I still mess with him, because I told him we were best friends. It was a secret. She told me she didn't even tell her own kids, because we were just that close and we had that type of bond. So about 2 years before her transition, she actually told me, she said, I tell you what, she said, I don't want to go out here in no hurt. She said, let my last ride be in a carriage. Now, unto my benoying, her and my Aunt Diane had already had this conversation. So she was sold on being in a horse and carriage, and I fought tooth and nail to find my grandmother in a horse and carriage. A lot of people don't realize my grandmother had her whole service planned out in her head, and she had told me what she wanted. So I made sure I executed it, because that was her last goodbye, per se, on earth in her physical body. It was hard. I'm not even going to lie. That was my – I moved. I dropped out of school. I graduated with my master's. I decided not to finish or become a medical doctor. I moved home instantly when she became very ill. Matter of fact, I didn't even stay in Shreveport for graduation. I went straight back to Oakdale and did everything in Oakdale, instantly moved, transitioned, quit my job, and did everything to be right there with her, because my Aunt Sheila was going through stage 4 breast cancer at the time. And her husband was ill, so I put my life on hold, moved to Oakdale, and I just was there. So I was there for everything, myself, my Aunt Diane, my cousin Catrice, my cousin Cynthia. We all stopped what we were doing on top of the family that was already there. So I was there for everything. I laid in her bed. I was there. So any hospitalizations throughout the year, I was there. So I didn't really feel like I was losing her, because we were so close that I know even with her being transitioned, she's still with me. Her presence is still with me, and that's what gave me strength. However, we were hit with so many deaths back to back. That really broke me down. I think in October I had like a mental blockage. Like, I just didn't want to be bothered. I didn't leave my house. No, this was in September. We buried her in August. So September, we had buried three family members back to back, and I just was out of it. I didn't want to be bothered. I didn't want to eat. I stayed in my house by myself for a month. And I remember the last day of September, I was like, I refuse to go into October feel this way. I said, either I'm going to meet my grandmother, I'm going to be with her physically, spiritually, and transition with her, or I'm going to let this be my motivation force for me to get up and do something with myself. And I cannot sit here and waddle in this grief, because this is not what she wants. This is not what they want. This is not what my Uncle Mitch wants. This is not what Grandma Jeanette wants, what Mr. P wants. So I actually got up. October the 1st, things started changing for me. I had a new job. I had a new outlook on life. I was going back to school to pursue my degree, my doctorate in public health. So everything has started working out for my good. Literally, October the 1st, because I put that force in there. And after that, I came. My friend saw that I was going through a hard time. So my friend flew from Minnesota and met me in Atlanta. And she was like, you got to move. She was like, you got to move out of Oakdale. It's not good for you. So I ended up moving August 2022, a year later, and I was so much better. But you have those moments, and it's okay to grieve. I'm not telling nobody it's not okay to grieve. The simplest things make me cry when I think about my grandmother. It could be Touched by an Angel coming on, or it could be a song. The other day I saw a lady with gray hair and start crying because she always said she wanted her hair a certain shade of gray. So there's nothing wrong with grieving. It's what the problem is with grieving is when you get so caught up in the loss that you forget what you had in that moment with them. And they're never 100% gone. If you truly religious, you know, if you know the Bible, if you know how spirit works, nobody's 100% gone from you. Their spirit is always going to linger in you. And when somebody loves you that much, they're always going to be with you. So that's what keeps me grounded, and that's how I keeps me level-headed so that I won't sink or drown. I know that all my family members are looking over me, and I laugh. I have so many videos of me and Big Mama that I just, when I'm having a bad day, I just go back and look at them, and I share them with the family because I was the granddaughter that made her cut up. I'm probably the only granddaughter that got a whooping. So just those memories, I love it. I love it. I know that she's in a better place, and I know that her best one thing that she did on this world was to do what she wanted to do. She always was depositing it and doing for other people, but she made the decision for herself to stop fighting and to transition and be with her Heavenly Father. So I 100% accept that.
Yeah, and I just wanted to go over that grief. And like I said, I knew her as a kid. You know, I knew her as a grown person, and I knew her strength, man. And I done had talks with her too, you know what I'm saying? And she had something to give to everyone, you know? So, man, I commended and to see her to go out that way, you know what I'm saying? With her hearing about the carrot and the horse, man, honestly, I knew she wrote that her way. I knowing her, I said, man, she went out just like she wanted to go out, because I know that she knew her and I knew Mama Lynn and them together, been around them, like you said, I done served both of them tea and coffee, just like you, we all done went through that with them, listening to them talk. So, man, I just, to get over that, a lot of people would, like you said, I know how close y'all were. And I'm glad you're using that to go in and get all the times you want. So I commend you on that. Thank you.
Thank you
for sharing that with us.
Right. And I want to add, too, I would never, ever forget Big Mama. The last time I saw her, I made a vow to her. I say, whenever I come home, the first person I will see before seeing Sydney, and Sydney is like the pillar. Anybody live in that small town, everybody will know Sydney is like the pillar of Oak Forest and Oakdale. But before I see my brother Sydney, I'm going to see you first. I say, I promise you, I'm going to see you first. And she still remember me as the Larry she remembered when I was a little boy, and I love that. I love the idea in your conversation about being that little girl. And I love our platform, Khadijah, Word on the Streets, because, you see, it's not many arenas people get to talk real talk like this, this real hurt, this that real grief, that real setback. This platform, what Fletcher and I built, is made for realness. the word, keeping it 100, is overused. In fact, I think it's abused. But this is where the rice and gravy is right here. This is what we give to our listening audience. Because truth be told, we are all professionals from different arenas of life. But the thing we have in common, the thing all humans have in common, we all suffer setback in one form or the other. We all lose a loved one, and that loved one can come in the form of death, sadly. It can come in the form of a relationship, but whatever, they can come in the form of financial setback, losing a home. I mean, losing comes in many different shapes, sizes, and forms, and I love it that you said in your mind, because I often talk about this thing here. I remember vividly being that little boy, being little Larry, and having a plethora of dreams in my head. And my nephews and nieces, they saw, because I vocalized it to them, they knew how much ambition and dreams I had in my head. And you went back, you went into that little girl, and you embrace every single solitary moment with your grandmother. And you promise to your inner soul you're never going to forget your experience. Money will never erase that experience. Different location will never erase that experience. It doesn't matter how high you move on the professional level, and you are going to move higher and higher. But it would never take the place of Big Mama. That little girl, Khadijah, Chantel, and her Big Mama, inseparable. Inseparable. And see, what I'm saying, people, is that it's okay to hold on to those special memories. She said she still cried when she see someone with gray hair or something that's sentimental make her think about those special moments. Nonetheless, listen closer. This is important so that you don't get stuck right there. In her deep depression, the people you love most, when they love you back, like I know they love this young lady in her community, she knew in her heart they'll tell her, okay, it's time to get up now. It's time to move forward. It's time to brush yourself off. And that's what she did. She continued to move forward while keeping that love in the center of her heart. And man, that's a beautiful sentiment. And we're just delighted that you share something so dear and personable to you, for you, on the air. Because what's happening, someone on your level, see, here's the thing that prevent us, Khadijah, is that when we get a certain level of education and financial status, we become proud. And Keith, you often say it, we don't trust, and trust will cause you not to say certain things, because you don't want people to know the vulnerableness that you carry, that you have. But what I like about you, you said you was hurt. You said it was difficult because, you know, it's necessary. A lot of people need to know that it's real. Depression is real. Hurt is real when you lose a loved one, when you lose something that you love so much. That's real. But continuing to live on is also possible. And you have proved that your possibility of you being on here and you living a successful business lady at a young age. Very proud of you. And I know I'm talking far too much. I apologize to everybody. They probably say, man, you're holding up the show. So let me ask you this. Why so many different businesses that you're into? You got your hands in this, your hands in that. And so why so many different businesses for you?
I think I have ADHD because when I go to sleep at night, I'm like, oh, my gosh, this needs to be done. This needs to be marketed. This needs to be done. So recently I attended a workshop or a brunch, and it was Dr. Heavenly from Merit to Medicine. We asked her how many streams of income she had. She said 7. She said she rotates one out. If that doesn't work, it's gone. Whichever ones make her the most money, she keeps those. And I thought about it in my head, whatever is most efficient for my community, that's the ones I keep. So Essential Career Strategist, moving to Atlanta. I've been writing resumes and helping people in my community for years, posting jobs, making sure people had some type of employment. So when I moved to Atlanta, it was very hard for me to transition and get the salary that I wanted, a competitive salary. So I knew if I was having the issues and I had all these credentials and degrees, I was like, I know other people are having them as they transition to new cities. So that's how Essential Career Strategies came about, because I want to decrease imposter syndrome in minorities, especially African-American women. Black women are the backbone of the world. Let's be real. We are from an Eve trait. Eve was a black woman. And so we set the tone. We set the foundation. The world is built on a black woman's back. And we do all the work in healthcare and public health. And we don't promote ourselves. We don't get that level of respect that our other racial counterparts get, because we often don't water ourselves. We kind of shy away. And it happened to me, to myself. I was like, oh, yeah, I just got a little master's. That don't mean nothing. And then I realized, do you know how hard it would have been for somebody in the 60s to get a master's, or in the 40s, the 20s to get a master's? Like, this is something big. Like, stop watering yourself down.
That's right.
So every business that I have is to decrease imposter syndrome, or is to uplift the community in some way. Sisters on the Go is an organization that is sold on entrepreneurship, networking, and mentorship. It's so many businesses, small black businesses. I don't like to say small. I like to say growing black businesses. Small, I feel like we put a cap on what we do. So growing black businesses nationally and internationally. Sisters on the Go wants to develop those businesses. We want to bring them to the mainstream, because we definitely can have Black Wall Street back. We definitely can build our revenue back, and we have to support our own, because we are getting overlooked. We are really getting overlooked. So that's how I come up with my business. At night, I'm always, my undying could tell you, I'm always thinking of something. I'm like, okay, this needs to be done. But I am learning to grow these businesses so they can be the fruit for the next and develop and put into the next businesses. So my goal, I can say my goal is to have 7 successful businesses in this lifetime that will help develop our communities in some way or fortune, or in healthcare as well. So this, you know, it happens, but they all kind of work together, so.
Yeah, Fletcher, man, that's all a lot like you, man.
I can speak now. You know what I'm saying? We're going down the same road. You know, I want to say about the master thing, you know, what you're saying, the masters, and like you said, hold us back. Not just black women. I see us blacks as a whole. We take that lightly. Like you said, we're going there with our other counterparts going in there, and they pushing that. And we'll go on there and say, yeah, like you said, a master's. I had a friend that his girlfriend went to school, and she's going to get a master's. And I remember we were having a conversation. He was saying, man, she thinks she all that because she got a master's. I instantly stopped him. I said, man, let me tell you something. First off, and I want to get deep into the master's, I said, my mama was next to you. She'll slap you. When you got it out your mouth, she'd have slapped you. I said, man, do you understand what it takes to get a master's? And that's another thing. Most of us don't understand what it takes to go to get a master's. You know what I'm saying? They understand the work. You working. You going to work while you getting this master's. How long it takes to get a master's. The time frame, the hours you take to put in for the master's. It ain't just no easy case, man. So I don't think we understand how powerful, how easy it is, how hard it is to do them things. You know what I'm saying? And we take it for granted. You know what I'm saying? So like I explained to somebody, I said, man, you know what the master's is? It's just a doorway. It's a doorway you can't get in. If you ain't got the key, you ain't got that paper to get in that door. You know what I'm saying? So, but once you get in that door, man, it's so nice in there. It's so nice when you get in that door compared to you got that GED or you got that high school diploma. It's just another door to get into it. So, man, I congratulate you on that there. Another thing, the businesses, man. See, we've been messed up with business. We don't understand business. Man, you're supposed to have as many businesses as you want. But when you tell our community that, you know, because we weren't taught that, that means we don't know what we're doing.
Right.
We don't understand that. We don't understand business. We don't understand. See, when you said that word small business, I know I'm going to get you back to you with your point. I just want to, small business, listen to the news. They always talk about small business. They always say what the small business is getting. But we don't hear that. But you know what we're here? We're here when they're giving us something. You hear when they say Section 8 or something, they're giving away some money free. We hear that part. But we don't hear the part when they say what small business is. So you having that business, man, and I know it's tough for our community to understand that. And so what you're building, you saw a niche in the market, not a niche, but you saw a lack in the market, like you said, with the resumes and doing the stuff. Man, that's huge because I see that. I had to deal with that, teaching people, even just teaching someone how to give an interview. A lot of our community don't even know how to give a correct interview.
That's
correct,
true.
Know how to write the correct resume, a cover letter. You know, these things are important into that. It's just that we take for granted. So I command you on that, man. Go get as many business as you want, home-based business. Put your kids. You know, you have your baby as an employee at your job. So, man, go get your business. Don't let no one stop you on that. So, like you said, 7 businesses. And I'm trying to have one for every year. You know what I'm saying? Just sitting in the way. And when every 2 years when they're cured, that's when I'm going to open it. So let's go. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm trying to get finances on all of them. And see, that's our loss, and we don't understand that, you know. But I can go deep in that. But I commend you on that, baby, on what you're doing with the business, man. You go get, and it's going, and what you just said, going to the workshops, putting yourself around like-minded people, that's another thing we need to do more. So keep on reaching for them stars and going for you. Now, when you said you don't write no goals down, I don't know about that. But you know what I'm saying? You got to work on that. You know, I know what you're saying. God got some dreams for you and stuff, but you got to have it. He gave you a vision, too. So you might need to write the vision down. You might forget it. So I'm just saying, if he's talking to you, he's giving you something. So it's good to have a vision, too, to have it wrote down to that. I just tell you that by the point of view. Take it or leave it, nothing wrong. But I commend you on the business, yeah.
Thank you.
Let me
say
this.
I do vision boards, like, of the visual things, but to set goals or say, like, I know where I'll be for 5 or 10 years, I don't like to do that anymore or to be stern on myself, because I think that's where anxiety and depression comes in, because if you don't meet those goals, like, I was supposed to be a medical doctor by 30. I'm not. Mm-hmm. And so that took a lot of toll on me mentally, because I had set this goal. But once you realize that sometimes your goals and God's vision is not the same. So I just try to be realistic with that. Before it's writing down business plans and things of that nature, I do. And I do have a vision board. But saying where I would be 5 or 10 years, I'm just kind of more laid back and open to God's will more so.
So let me say this one more thing, Shorty. What I tell people, like they say, what you just said, I don't do the 5 years, but let me show you like this. If you write that down, you might not hit that point, but you're going to hit close to it. You see what I'm saying? I done did things, like you said, it's a stressful moment, but I might fall short of that point, but I fall closer than I fall behind. Because I had to have something to reach for. I'm just making that point to you, man. So keep on doing it. Like you said, I follow you. I like the things you're saying, and I can tell by your tenacity and your grip, you're going to make it what you want to do. But, man, and it gets some levels. I would just say this to you. As me going through this business thing, stop trying to do everything yourself. Start getting people to help you. And now I tell Larry about the trust thing. I mean, I'm showing that about the trust thing. We got to start employing people and learn how to train people, let them do some things and trust them to do some things, and then that can make things happen for you even more. That's what I'm going through right there. It's time to step, because you know that we all family, and we got a problem. We don't know how to let go. So I would tell you that.
Yes.
Learn how to start letting go and let other people come in and make their mistakes and do that and come in and fix it, but try to start getting people to help you so you can make your vision even clearer, too, to get people to come in and buy in on your vision.
I receive that, because you know how the women in our family are. You know.
I know.
If it ain't our way, it's ooh. So, yeah, I am learning that. With Sisters on the Go, I'm hiring a virtual assistant because I don't have the time now.
You don't have the time, yeah.
And it does feel better saying, okay, this is what I want. And then going back and say, okay, correct it this way. So I am learning that because the women in our family are very independent and will try to do everything, build the world by ourselves. So I'm learning it's better to ask for help and seek help when needed to. So that's a learning experience. I'm glad I'm learning it at 28.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you that from experience. So. We family. I'm the same way. I fired my whole family. We was working. I'm like, I fired everybody because I had to. And at the end, I had to realize I needed them. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you start learning and starting to learn the patience. So just start, if I would tell you, like saying, try to learn the thoughts. Like I said, I'm looking for an assistant too, that virtual assistant, because and it took me to fight for that. So, yeah, so just try to start bringing in people, and, man, that'll bring you closer to your vision.
Everybody who will tune in and listen in, this is Word on the Streets, and we do have a caller on area code 337. Area code 337-353. Would you like to make a comment, or do you have a question?
I'd just like to make a comment. I'm enjoying the show tonight, and I would like to thank you for being here. I'm very proud of you. Last time I saw you, I think we were at IHOP, and your mother asked me to speak to you because she always tell you, you have her personality ever since you were a little girl. And I think you know who I am by saying that.
I do. That's my twin.
That's your twin. Exactly.
Hey. Oh, you made it night.
Yes. I would not miss it when they told me you were going to be on.
Oh, you done made my night.
I am so proud of you. I am very, very proud of you. And, girl, you just go on and just make your mark all over the world.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I truly appreciate y'all for sewing into me at such a young age. I love it. I love it. And I love y'all.
And thank you. Thank you, caller, area code 337. We're going to take a short break, but, folks, listen up. Don't go anywhere. We're not done yet. So hang in there, and we will be back. We have a few more moments, a few more questions, and who knows? Maybe a couple of more telephone calls. So don't go anywhere. Hello, everybody. We invite you to share a word on the streets with everyone you know, especially on your social media platform. Also, whenever you're in the Dallas area and you need a place to stay, look no farther than Chanute Palace. I'm talking about a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, front yard, backyard, 2-car garage, and security camera all around. Friends, you deserve the very best. You deserve Chanute Palace. And lastly, you can support us simply by shopping on www.extraspin.shop. Just go over there and get yourself something or get something for someone you love. This is Word on the Street. Now let's get back to the show. And we are back. We are back. This is Word on the Streets with Khadija Chantel and the amazing Keith Fletcher and yours truly, Extraordinaire. Thank everybody for tuning in. We hope you are enjoying the show. And if you are, make sure you lock in our link, share with your friend, your neighbor, hey, share even with your enemies. Your enemy might become your friend. Okay? Share the link. And we hope this would not be Miss Chantel's last visit on Word on the Streets after the show. But I want to ask you something that I think other people out there listening may have some interest in as much as I do, and that is, what is something you would share with others who are afraid to pursue their dreams?
Why not? Why not? If you work a 9-to-5, you're pursuing someone else's dream. If you're watching TV, you're pursuing someone else's dream. If you're driving a car, you're pursuing someone's dream. Every time you drive into a fast food restaurant, you are pursuing someone else's dream. So why not pursue yours? Everything we do is pursuing someone else's dream. So who are you to hold back that inner child or the purpose that God has for you? Who are you to shortchange yourself?
You're singing my song right there. You know, I often
say it well. Say it well.
Yeah. Say go ahead on, T.
Oh, like you said, what she said is perfect. I'll make it short, but like you said, what else you have to do? You know what I'm saying? What else do you have to do? You know, working a 9-to-5 when you're missing out and if somebody else. And see, that's when that jealousy comes, which is envy. You know what I'm saying? You're seeing somebody else making it. It ain't that you're jealous. You just envy because you're supposed to be doing something else. And that's what it is. That's all it is. You know what I'm saying? So, now, I commend. That was said very well. That's all I'd say. She said that very well.
And not only that, this is something I often say. If you're going to be online X amount of hours and you got X amount of people following you and having a comment about everything that you putting out there and saying, and, you know, you're talking about this new thing that you just purchased or you bought and people having a say on it one way or the other, that same energy you can tap into and create and make that a business. That's an opportunity. And so I just love it, which is why I thought that question would be perfect, something that you would share with others who are afraid to pursue their dreams. Our dreams is not as far away as we may think. Our dreams are doing the things that we do, doing the things we enjoy doing. Doing the things that come naturally can be your dream come true. And, you know, you said something about you hope to have over 70-some different businesses. For a lot of people hearing that, they'll think, my God, that's kind of out there, isn't it? But no. I mean, you got a buffet of ideas. We all have a buffet and ideas going on in our head. Those ideals can be businesses. Is that right, Khadija? That's how you see it?
Yes, sir, it is. Yes, sir,
so,
I definitely agree.
Yeah. So, you know, that is one of the things I think, you know, and you can echo this if you like, is that too often people limit themselves and they cut themselves short. They feel like they don't measure up or what have you. But we've learned in this world of technology, of this AI computer and everything, that the world isn't as large as we once thought it was. And an opportunity is not as difficult as it once was. I mean, my God, almost anything you can think of, you can create it now into a business. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I agree. I mean, that's how the United States was created. It was an idea. Everything once started with an idea. Facebook, I remember when Facebook first started, social media period, we started off with I am, and I know people don't think I'm this old, but I really started off on on Yahoo, AOL, and now we have Facebook. 2008 Facebook, we started at Facebook. So everything starts with an idea. I remember when the internet was, Big Mama had to hang up off the phone for me to get on the internet and look at where we at now. You can stream anything
anywhere
in the world.
Right, back in those days.
So it's like, come on now. If you think it
can be, you're not that old.
No.
Wait a minute.
Listen, in Oakdale, we were still hanging, had AOL. It was still, you know, the little noise.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be while you're on the internet.
That's right. I remember that. But I love it, the part that you said, when you drive up to a place, you're really supporting someone else's ideal, someone else's dream, someone else's goal. When you go to any site on the internet, that was a thought. That was a dream. That was someone else's dream. Why not you? Listen, audience, Word on the Street family, why not you? I mean, why not you? When you go to YouTube and you find a station, you love it. Man, and you just telling all your friends. You go to Twitter, you go to Facebook, you go to Instagram, and everybody talking about what they're talking about. Why not you? In other words, don't limit yourself. And you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar. God didn't give everybody the intellectual abilities and skills to be a 4.0, a 3.5, 6, 7, 9, and 4.0 student. But he gave us all a will and a desire. He gave all of us that. He gave, and if he gave an ant, I don't pick on the ant, but I love making an observation with the ants because they're amazing. They are truly amazing to me. An ant been around since the century of time, and they are still here in 2023. Amazing. That's amazing to me. And they build their little cities, if you let them, but they don't let anything stop them. Now, if God can allow an ant to have that type of willpower, and he say we are much more, I think he loves us a little bit more than an ant. And I think he gave us a little bit more spirit inside of us.
Yeah,
just limit ourselves. And this is why we think when you hear, she want to do 70 bids, oh, my God, that's too much. No. In fact, she probably going to end up doing more than 70. She probably says 70 so that y'all wouldn't freak out. Some of y'all already probably fell off your sofa, your chair, your favorite love chair, whatever. So, last question for you. Go ahead on, Fletcher. We got 3 minutes.
We got two minutes. I was trying to see I know the question. How would someone get in touch with you? We know you're doing no business and stuff. How would someone get in touch with
you?
My Facebook is Khadijah Chantel, Shantell. My Instagram is Khadijah Chantel. I'm now on TikTok giving relationship advice, and that's Khadijah Chantel. So my name is my brand. Khadijah Chantel is everywhere. Sisters on the Go. I have a website, sistasontheGeaux.com. So I'm a living walking brand. Chantel, so.
Yeah, I need to hit you up. You are a brand. And you hear what you said? I'm giving relationship by on TikTok. That's someone that's not afraid of anything. That's someone that's an avenue, and she is not afraid to try it and build it, and that's what you pull. Tell you find your niche exactly. So I commend you on that, Khadijah. Yeah, thank you for coming to the show.
Brother, I am
thank
so
you.
Glad you asked that question. that was a great, perfect question. That was on the list, and you got it all, man. That's why we need each other. That's why we are together. Ladies and gentlemen, Khadijah, how you enjoy being on Word on the Street?
I loved it. Hopefully I could come back and let y'all know about some new things in my life. So
got it working right now.
So hopefully I'll be sharing some new things with you all shortly in the coming months. Because I'm getting ready to do a big bash for my mom's 60th birthday, March 2024. So I'm trying to get all the family together.
Sounds good. And make sure you share with your friends, loved ones, word on the street. I'm so happy to be on the air with the amazing Keith Fletcher and yours truly, Extraordinaire Word on the Streets. We will see y'all Monday, same time, same place. Make sure you pull up a chair and be there. See you Monday, 7 p.m., Word on the Streets.
Thank you. Thank you again, Khadija. Thank you.
Thank you.